Downtime isn't a luxury, it's a necessity. And whether you're a freelancer or full-time employed, it's essential to take some time off during the year. It's sometimes easier when you're employed because you've got your 15 allotted days, you put your leave notice in and you can disappear into the sunset with no worries because someone else is picking up the slack while you're away. Slightly different for freelancers, but it's essential to take this unstructured time off because it is really the key to boosting creativity, preventing burnout, and staying at the top of your game, which are all three essential things. They're essential ingredients in being a really good freelancer. So, I am very upset with ChatGPT because it spat this particular talking point out for us, and I did not go through the notes correctly. And so I have done zero research. So the science behind downtime, how unstructured time helps the brain reset and encourages creative thinking.
Facts, so people, facts.
It is a fact, but we can't prove it.
No.
Well, we can ask ChatGPT during the course of this conversation, but let me not open up the other half of my brain. Tell me, Shay, you can be my ChatGPT. How does taking time off actually help you kind of recover from overload and get creative ideas again? Because let's be honest, when we're working and you're back to back, you're sitting in meetings all the time, you're driven by deadline. Freelancing is generally very deadline driven. You run out of energy and you run out of space in your brain to have this creativity. So how do you kind of structure, I suppose not schedule creativity into your downtime, but how do you find creativity and downtime are linked in your world?
So, okay. This isn't scientific, but I think we can all identify with, you know, things like having our best ideas when we're in the shower or going for a run, or, I mean, and what's sort of the common denominator with all those activities is you're alone a lot of the time, maybe not all the time. And you're disconnected, you know, you don't necessarily have a device with you. So I think any time where your brain is not being given too many stimuli from too many different directions. And I mean, our laptops, our smartphones, those are key places where we find things to do, which might be important and might seem productive, but our brains are quite simple and they actually don't have a lot of space to have multiple dialogues running. I mean, I don't know if you've ever tried to do some really like important work while listening to a podcast. Something's got to give. I either find I'm not concentrating on my work, or I'll think, oh, I've missed the whole 5 minutes of what's just being said if I was concentrating on my work. So I think it's physically impossible to give your energy to two things at once. And it's physically impossible for us to really open up the, I don't know which part of the brain it is. We'll look that up too. Look that one up. Which section of the brain is responsible for creativity? Whichever one that is, the only way to unlock it is by giving it space, like literally giving it space, physically giving it space, and getting out of your day to day. And I think it doesn't have to be, I'm going to a cabin in the mountain for a week and I'm not going to speak to anyone or use my cell phone. It's about finding those moments in your everyday. So instead of when you go for a walk or do some exercise, instead of bringing your phone with and listening to a podcast, just go the old school way with your own thoughts and see what emerges. So I think, yeah, for me, it's about finding those little moments when I can every day. And you do have to be conscious about it because as we've spoken about, we're all addicted to the grind, it's the adrenaline of getting a notification, of doing something, ticking thing off your list. It feels good. It's a dopamine hit. But that go, go, go doesn't allow the creative side of our brain to unlock. And I don't know about you, but I cannot, okay, I prefer not to try meditate because I find it very challenging.
Boring.
And my mind does go a million places. So for me, it helps me to have, actually be kind of doing something else. So yeah, physical, doing something physical actually I don't know if there's might be some science behind that, actually, like between moving your body and unleashing that side of your brain. So that's my very non-scientific but very anecdotal experience of making time for creative thought.
Cool. Before I tell you about all of my dramas, the creativity involves several areas of the brain working together, including the prefrontal cortex, default mode network, temporal lobes, hippocampus, and parietal lobes. And ChatGPT says creativity happens when these regions interact, combining spontaneous thoughts with deliberate thinking to shape new ideas. And that makes a lot of sense because I struggle even over the weekend. You know, I ride my bike on a Saturday morning, come home, and then in the afternoon we'll usually braai, or it involves time outside. And I find that if I'm just left to my own devices, I'm not given something necessarily to do, and I will clarify that in a moment, then I find myself becoming very distracted, like, where's my cell phone? Like, I need to check WhatsApp. I need to find something to do. I'm sitting enjoying the garden that I work so hard in, but instead of enjoying it, I'm already planning, like, shit, look at all those weeds I need to pull out, and I end up actually just working in the garden. So by giving myself something to do, what I find works is I read a lot of nonfiction relating to business and risk-taking and decision-making and that sort of thing. And what I like to do is read maybe a paragraph or a page out of a book that I'm currently reading, and then actually sit and think about that and see how it like can apply to my life. So it's not that kind of meditation, sitting, emptying the mind, being in the moment, all that kind of thing. It's like I'm keeping my mind active, but it's active in a way that's very different from how it usually is. Very active. Usually I'm trying to connect ideas for clients or come up with ideas for content or that sort of thing. And this is taking working that same muscle, but taking it in a completely different direction. So yeah, in terms of meditation, I was very good. I had a meditation practice set up. I would do 20 minutes in the morning before work and sometimes 20 minutes after work as well. And then I my business grew and I got busy. It's easy to fit these things in when you're not very busy.
That's when you don't need them as much, right?
Exactly. I've got a friend who swears by meditation. So if that's something that works for you, I know that it did work for me when I was doing it. It sounds like a really weak excuse that I just don't have time for it now, but it's kind of like I prefer to be physically doing something. I struggle to sit still. And I find working out very meditative. I find riding my bike quite meditative. I find working in the garden. And I think that maybe the difference is between meditation and mindfulness. You're mindful of the thing that you're doing. So, when you're riding your bike at 40 kilometers an hour down the side of a mountain, you have to be very focused and mindful in that moment. And you're getting, not scientific, this is just me talking crap. I think that you're getting the same type of kind of focus as you are in meditation, because you're focusing on one thing.
So science, I did once read somewhere that running is the same as meditation. So then I was so thrilled, because then the pressure was completely off me to try this meditation nonsense. And I was like, awesome, it's the same thing. Here's something I enjoy doing. So yeah, I've read that, and that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. So yes, science, I read somewhere.
Okay, well,
good. Proves it.
Well, it's something that I made up, and I'm taking it as fact because it works for me.
Yeah.
So there must be something scientific behind it that's happening in my brain. Tune in tomorrow for more science discussions.
Another thing that I know works for people, which I struggle with, is journaling. I mean, again, ironically, you'd think being a writer that journaling might be something that would come easily, which it could, except that's my job. So I don't really want to necessarily be spending that kind of time writing when I do that all day. I don't know about you.
I tried journaling and it really didn't work for me because I sit down with my book and I'm like, I don't know what the hell I'm supposed to be writing down right now. And so you kind of do a little bit of research and it's like, well, reflect on your day. So then I just start listing stats of my day. Like I worked between 7 yeah. and 11. Then I exercised.
I had a sandwich for lunch.
How did you feel? I felt
tired.
You know, I felt like I had worked between 7 and 11 and I was tired after the workouts. And after I ate my sandwich, I wasn't hungry anymore. You know, I don't know what the fuck to write in these things. So journaling, not for me. But for me, I am pretty active. And so activity, I can get lost in an activity. And I think that's the point, is trying to find that zone of giving your time space to reflect, think about things other than work, and be bored. Because let's chat about boredom quickly. I have, like you said, it's that cliche of like you get all your best ideas in the shower. But I find, and I think that we are really overstimulated. So when I'm away from my computer and I'm doing something physical, like digging a giant hole in the garden, I mean, that's a very boring activity. You're digging a hole, but it allows your brain to kind of unwind, I suppose. And I don't think that we're giving enough time to dedicated to boredom. I don't think we're dedicating enough time to boredom because boredom can be avoided at all costs now with all the technology mm-hmm. that we have. I don't know if you feel the same. When was the last time that you were actually bored?
I won't let myself. And I think we have been conditioned for that instant gratification of as soon as there's a moment of feeling, I don't know what to, you think of something to do, or you pick up your phone yeah. or whatever it may be. So I'm similar to you in that I need to be doing something productive, but boring, repetitive, so that I can unwind, but I still need to be doing something. And it needs to feel productive because I'm a bit, unfortunately, obsessed with being productive. So, you know, if I'm not being productive, I'm thinking, what could I do right now that's more productive than what I'm doing at the moment? And that it's a trap. So I'm doing something productive, like I also, you know, we'll get into the garden and just start pulling out weeds, which no one notices. I'm not a gardener. My garden is absolutely full of weeds, so I could spend literally hours and hours doing it. But just half an hour, it's a very productive activity. But yeah, it's pretty boring. But I think there's also something to be said for being in the fresh air, having your hands in the soil, that kind of like woo-woo stuff that is also probably science. So I think everyone's different in the way that you're able to unwind and release your boredom and do it in a way that feels good for you. So I'd be curious to hear from other people, you know, is it journaling? Is it meditation? Is it gardening? Is it physical activity? What are we missing? But I think it's okay to not have to force yourself to be bored in the same way that other people do. You got to find what works for you. And the way that you'll know it's working is if you feel that sort of, how would you call it? I don't want to say in a piece because that I never really feel much of that. it's more like a chill, just a gentle chill and fulfillment and satisfaction that you feel. And if you're getting good ideas while you're doing it.
Yeah, yeah. Before we end, I do just want to chucked into ChatGPT, is there scientific backing to woo-woo stuff? And they said, yes, meditation and mindfulness, placebo effects. Research shows that when people believe a treatment will help, they can actually experience real improvements. Energy healing like Reiki, although it lacks solid scientific evidence, studies on biofield therapies have shown some psychological effects like reducing pain and anxiety, visualization and brain-gut health connection. So there you go, woo-woo stuff that does have scientific backing, except Reiki.
Good to know.
Yes, I just want to end off by saying, obviously, taking time off is absolutely critical. So whether it is deep diving into a YouTube channel that you're obsessed with, or reading, or gardening, or riding your bike, or running, or meditation, or Reiki, whatever you decide to do, it is essential, because burnout is real. And burnout it's not just, oh, I'm tired, I need to have a little bit more sleep. Burnout is a real physical issue. And again, I had it at the beginning of this year. It is not something I would wish on my worst enemy. It affects you mentally, emotionally, physically. And it is, if you're not controlling that, it is leaking into your business, and it's going to impact your long-term productivity and disrupt your freelancing actually being a sustainable career path. So take time for yourself. Make sure that you are taking time off and actually disconnecting. And on that very lectury note, please pop us a comment. We'd love to know how you actually detox and disconnect. If you've had problems or you've got an anecdote, we'd love to know that as well. Pop it in the comments. Pop us a DM on LinkedIn or Facebook. And subscribe while you're here, whether you're on YouTube or on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. And we'll see you in the next episode.